You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Greetings and welcome to New Edition. Brand new, hot off the digital inner tubes.
New Edition, full of cool new geek boy band harmonies.
Pick a mic.
Speak into it.
Welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's...
Groovehouse.
So, we got Peter Hughes in the studio tonight.
Yes.
Which means that our intro is a lot smoother. It's nice. I don't see a dog. Get the dog app loaded up on your phone.
You got it.
Right next to the cuckoo app.
All right. Well, we're glad you could tune in, and it should be a good show tonight. We got everybody here, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. If you want to be, if you want to learn a little bit more about the show, you can visit us at geekradio.com. That is our website. We put our podcasts up there mostly, but also announcements for things like geek gatherings and so forth. If you would like to learn more about the show, that's where you can find the information you seek. We also hang out on IRC, on irc.cuckoo.com.
Cuckoo! Cuckoo! Cuckoo!
The channel Tech Bites. See, I primed the cuckoo pump.
We have it good.
Yeah, prime it. I don't reckon I got no reason to cuckoo. And, so the IRC, and if you want to be on the air with us, we do fancy ourselves a phone-in show, a call-in show, so you can call 713-526-5738. That's the number that we'll be taking calls on a little bit later in the show. But since we have Peter Hughes in the studio, and he's all ready to go... And trying to think if there's anything else I missed. Did anybody else need to chime in with anything? Flicked, you doing all right? Got plenty of cupcakes. Got the extra fridge for your beer and vegetables. All right. Well, we're going to go right here to the seat two over on my left for the Technology Bites Info Shot with Peter Hughes. Take it away, Info Shot.
It's the Technology Bites Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
Okay, well, first up, everybody panic. No, you don't have to panic, but this was an interesting story that I hadn't really thought about.
Y2K!
From the Mary Sue. Oh, close. You know what we haven't done in a while? We haven't found an asteroid that's about to fly uncomfortably close to Earth. And that's not necessarily a good thing. Just because we don't see them doesn't mean they're not out there, as a few close passes showed earlier this year. You know, the ones where they, oh yeah, tomorrow this asteroid's going to pass between us and the moon kind of thing that we've had.
And we just have one of those?
Yeah, like a big one. One of those where it's like,
eep.
Yeah, and a government audit has concluded that NASA's program to detect asteroids and protect the world from devastation is way behind schedule. NASA spends about $1 million of its total $40 million yearly budget on detection of asteroids of 140 meters in diameter or greater. In English terms, that's a killer. But they're behind schedule as far as cataloging them. So they're detecting them, but they're not cataloging. The plan is to have 90% of these flying death balls cataloged by 2020, but the audit says that while the program has discovered, categorized, and plotted the orbits of more than 11,000 near-Earth objects since 1998, NASA estimates it has identified only 10% of all asteroids 140 meters or larger and won't meet the deadline. So there's only a 90% chance that they, 90% of them, they just don't know about. It goes on to tell the reasons why the program's lagging behind, saying it's all handled under a single program executive who manages a loosely structured, non-integrated conglomerate of research activities with little coordination, insufficient program oversight, and no established milestones to track progress. So in other words, it's a geeky comedy movie. It's a ragtag bunch of scientists and hangers-on detecting asteroids. Luckily, NASA does spend a larger part of its budget, 7%, on methods of destroying or deflecting an incoming space rock because, as it says in the article, Bruce Willis and Aerosmith don't come cheap if you're of a certain age and remember the apocalyptic movies. See, now you have zombies. You kids, now you and your zombies. We had asteroids.
And look what's actually happening. Movies. Look what's actually happening. We've had more near-Earth asteroids than we've had zombie attacks.
They also concur with the audit and have proposed corrective actions to help things get back on track, which is comforting, unless you're an asteroid, because then our best aging action stars are coming for you. And here's another maybe not so good news. There's a company in Virginia. You know how texting and driving is illegal, which frankly it should be, but
it's not.
It's not in Texas, but a lot of places it's illegal. What do you think would be a thing that would help drive making texting more illegal in places is, oh, say if the cop had a way to, like, just alongside the radar gun to check if you were texting using the same device. A company in Virginia is developing that. It's called ComSonics. They're working on a radar gun that can pick up the radio frequencies that identify texting drivers. So now you got another thing to worry about when you're driving, texting about asteroids.
So that cop,
the radar gun would have both. So you might think, oh yeah, he didn't catch me speeding. I slowed down
as I text.
I just sped past a cop and woo.
I was just wondering about that cop that ran over the guy from Napster and killed him and got off. You see that story?
No. Yeah, the 60-year-old bicycler, right?
Yeah,
side of the road, and he's actually typing on his computer. Responding to something about an elementary school fire, another police officer had asked, like, hey, can we leave the scene? He was texting, yeah, it's clear to go, as he veered off a few feet and hit the ex-CEO of Napster. Man. And then DA got into it, a lot of people got into it, and he got off pretty much scot-free.
Didn't
break any laws. Even though you cannot, in the state of California, text and drive because it's distracted driver laws, he was performing his... doing that in the line of duty, so it was okay.
One thing to note,
they need to revamp that.
Any of these kinds of laws, the first thing that's in there that they don't talk about, it's not on the news or any of that kind of stuff, is most of the laws about traffic or any of those kinds of things, they exempt the police first. So they're not really, like, speed limits are not.
Well, are those?
If they drive recklessly, then basically it's one of those where, yeah, if they screw up and they can show that they should have known better and driven slower. But that's all.
Are there illegal brakes for them, or is it just that the people that are enforcing it are also cops?
No,
there's kind of a look the other way.
If they're on duty, that they're that there's no speed limit. The traffic laws do not really apply.
I went into the wrong profession.
But also interesting on the whole cop, like, endangering humanity thing. I like the idea that they're, you know, starting to equip more cops with cameras.
Even to the point when they get out of the car,
like they're mounted on their uniforms. But also I saw this story about this device that mounts on the front of a police car that shoots darts, like little GPS trackers.
Into the car. Not little ones. This looks like you would not want to get one of these in your thigh. It's like a big elephant gun looking kind of round.
Right.
And apparently it shoots into the back, pierces the metal, and then it's got to hang on there. So, yeah, they hit you with one of those, and unless you pull over and run out and, you know, and probably, you know, get rid of it, they're going to know where you are.
Apparently that's what they do instead of Hot Pursuit in Japan. It's like a paintball kind of thing, and it sticks a tracker on you and...
We'll get you later.
Well, yeah, we'll catch you once you stop. That makes sense. That's kind of clever.
I think a radioactive paintball would be cooler because, you know, then you can just track the paintball. And if you can't find them, it'll take care of itself in X amount of days.
The bald guy robbing the bank. The stringy, you know, falling out chunks of hair. You'll know, hey, that must be the same guy we tried to stop last week.
Well, that was reminding me of the Bill Hicks routine where he suggested there would be some kind of, like, you have a dart gun with these idiot flags you could stick. You could shoot at cars that are driving stupidly, and then if they get enough of those stickers on, a cop pulls them over for being an asshole.
Now there are, you could report like bad drivers or whatever, so you could actually, I know there's some in California where you can go and you can look up license plates and you can see like, wow, this person's a really bad driver, like all these people have complained about him, this guy always cuts into the last minute, he doesn't signal, and you know.
I'm guessing the whole using your smartphone while driving is why there isn't like a Yelp for other drivers.
there's an app.
So now into better news on technology. Apparently, Google Fiber, if you were worried that, you know, they were going to like get distracted, squirrel. Google has confirmed to the Wall Street Journal that it recently hired Dennis Kish, one of Qualcomm's bigger senior vice presidents, to lead its gigabit Ethernet efforts. While it's not clear why this particular person came on board beyond his operational expertise, he's no stranger to managing big tech projects. He did Qualcomm's Mirasol display efforts and ST Ericsson's connectivity business. That kind of know-how could be crucial given Google's expansion plans, especially if rumors of mobile phone service pan out. It's too soon, obviously, to know what kind of influence this guy will have in the company, but a high-profile hire suggests that Fiber's super-fast data service is only going to get bigger and that your local telecom giant may actually get some well-deserved competition. That's when it was about time. I think the more places they light up with Google Fiber, the better. You know, if you look at Austin, that's why they've got the best broadband speeds in the country, is just the threat of Google coming in was enough to start them. In San Antonio, they're going to come in there, although I don't know if, you know, I hope they'll come to my area. It's just that, of course, you can't tell in advance where they're going to go and what places are going to get lit up. And here's an interesting purchasing, and this could potentially affect – this isn't a PC or Mac-specific thing. It's both. Intel, you know, you notice there's been a lot of delays on – you know, there was talk for like a fanless MacBook Air and, you know, the new chips that were coming. It may be kind of confusing in 2015 because Intel is going to introduce PC chips based on two different architectures in the same year, which rarely happens. But apparently one got delayed and one is on time. And so the one that's coming soonest is called Broadwell. It's Intel's fifth generation core processors, which will ship in the first quarter next year. So there'll be new computers coming out from that. But in the second half of next year, there are going to be PCs with processors based on an even newer Skylake architecture, which will bring wire-free computing and significant performance upgrades. So the reason this is news and the thing this is just warning you ahead is unless you really have to buy a computer like next spring, you know, when there's an announcement of, you know, the new Lenovo or the new MacBook Air or whatever on those things, pay attention because by the end of the year, there's going to be a whole nother a leap forward on the chips. Intel wants to bring the latest technologies to buyers as quickly as possible and would like to close the curtain on Broadwell's troubled existence. So they're going to put this out there, but it's not their future. They're just going to put it out because they finally got it ready. Skylake chips will have the biggest PC innovations in the last 10 years, according to Intel. They'll bring wireless charging and data transfers and also, quote, a significant increase in performance, battery life, and power efficiency, according to Kirk Skaugen, general manager of Intel's PC client group, during last week's Intel Developer Forum. So I'm thinking he would know. Intel almost swept the Broadwell PC chips under the floor at IDF, except for showing a handful of PCs like a small desktop. You know, consumers will continue buying laptops and desktops when they need them, but those who care about performance and features may want to pass on Broadwell and wait for Skylake, analysts say. The likelihood of people waiting for Skylake PCs will obviously increase as the year goes along. You know, so if you really want to... you know, if you're wanting sort of the best and you're thinking ahead to next year, you may want to chillax at the beginning of the year or get something sooner so you can replace to the new platform that'll work better for you. And usually that's kind of stuff you don't hear about it in advance, so you don't know, so you buy one. You know, so Barrett could like buy a new could have to buy a new computer in the spring, and then before the keyboard's even shot, there could be a whole nother set of computers, so you could miss out on two by buying, you know, the first one fails right before the first new announcements come out, and then it still has the new one has from the old computer you bought won't have failed yet before the
new stuff comes out.
So yeah, it could be a big year, and we'll keep track. We'll keep an eye on it. This one's interesting. Amazon is apparently getting ready to push the launch button on its next generation Kindle dedicated e-reader hardware. And there are leaks from these sites' German and Japanese stores via The Verge. They reveal it will likely be called the Kindle Voyage and sport a new high-res display and bezels that can be pressed to turn the pages. It's apparently slated for a November 4th release date, according to the leaks, at least in Germany, which means we could have it here even sooner. It'll apparently have both 3G, that's cellular internet, and Wi-Fi flavors, just like the Kindle always has. And the prices, there might be a price increase as both models are up about 80 euros versus their current Paperwhite equivalents. The Voyager will apparently have a 6-inch display, which is the same as the current Paperwhite, but it will offer 300 ppi pixel density, which will make for even sharper text. So TechCrunch reported on this late last year. The 300 ppi screen isn't the only reason to buy a new Voyage when it arrives. It's going to be thinner and lighter. Amazon Japan cites a depth of just 8 millimeters and a weight of only 186 grams, both of which are lighter than the current Kindle Paperwhite if you've held on to one of those. Leaked user manual also suggests we'll see the addition of sensors that can detect presses on the right and left bezels, allowing you to turn pages without having to touch the screen. Amazon had dropped dedicated page turn buttons from its primary lineup when it introduced the touchscreen tech. So now that it's been leaked out, it may be that we'll get more specific information. So that may be one where if you're thinking about a Kindle Paperwhite, it depends. Either you might be able to get a screaming deal when the new one's announced, or you may want the new one. And now to coming into sort of new stuff. One, just a sort of quick aside. When Apple did the whole the iPhone 6, the big huge announcement, a little quiet back, you know, behind the scenes thing at IDF, at the Intel thing, Dell announced an Android tablet that everybody who's seen it is like knocked out. They think it's great. They said one of the headlines was, is this the best Android tablet that's ever been made? It's like an 8-inch tablet. It's got all kinds of cool features, except you have to wonder what Dell is thinking, because revealing it on the same day as the iPhone 6 is crazy, because you're not going to get any news coverage. And the second and worst piece to this is the first question when you hear, oh, well, hey, there's this cool new Android tablet. It's the best, you know, it's got all these cool new features. Well, how much is it and when is it coming out? And neither of those questions
could be answered.
Was answered or revealed at the time. And you kind of, I really would like to see the ghost of Steve Jobs come and pimp slap Michael Dell and say, how many times have you seen me go out there and announce a product that I couldn't ship or tell them the price on? Because Apple doesn't. The rumor thing happens, but they've not, you know, that the watch is one of the first ones where they really came out and have, like, I think they tried to freeze the market. That's vaporware from Apple. But they've, at least they did it in an event where they announced stuff that you could order it the next week. A lot of them, you know, there's a lot of the Apple keynotes where during the keynote, you know, at the end of the keynote, they shut down the Apple store and turned it on, and you could order the stuff right then. But, yeah, so this tablet, it's about an 8-inch Android tablet. It's got some kind of 3-camera deal so that it can tell, like, what angle you're holding the device at, and is doing a lot of extra cool new stuff because of that. It had a high-res screen. I mean, it had all the good specs on it, except, you know, if they try to charge, you know, Ferrari prices for it in the Android market. It's not like everybody else is going to stop now and go, oh, Dell showed us this really great one, so we'll have to stop making our, you know, we won't have to announce any new ones because they're coming soon. So I thought that one was silly. And then the other thing that was silly is somebody wrote an article that said, well, that does it for Apple. That's all their hardware announcements for this fall. You know, what does that mean? So that means you're just going to have to wait on an iPad. Or at least you had to wait a week after the idiot made their, you know, mistaken assumption, because there is an October event for Apple. Bloomberg is reporting a mid-October launch event timeframe for new iPad and Mac hardware plus OS X Yosemite. Apple Insider echoes those claims with Daily Dot's Micah Singleton saying that October 21st will be the specific day. So it could be a very happy Halloween if you're wanting some new stuff, especially like a free new operating system. Last year, Apple held an iPad-focused event on October 22nd, where it launched the iPad Air and the new Retina iPad Mini, as well as OS X Mavericks. The rumors for this year is a new, lighter, thinner iPad Air, and the possibility of the larger 12.9-inch iPad. And let's see, you know, with given the iPhone 6 Plus, I guess it could be like the iPad Air Plus would be the 12.9-inch. There's also rumors that they'll have the touch, you know, the kind of touch unlock that you get on an iPhone 5S, which I have one and I swear by it. It works great. I like having my phone secure, so it's got the lock screen. But I don't have to punch in the – I just push the button and hold it for a second and it unlocks instead of me having to punch in the code every time I want to do something like text or whatever. And with iOS 8, which is the next thing up on the news, of course, they've got with iOS 8, the touch – the fingerprint tech is used to unlock purchases, you know, to do purchases with apps, so it can be used by individual apps, so that you don't have to remember a password, and also it's a lot more. That's obviously a lot more secure, because nobody's. Yeah, if it was the safe to Fort Knox, then maybe they would cut your thumb off to get at it. But nobody is going to go and attack somebody else and steal their fingerprints to get. I have to get that other level of Angry Birds. So I'm taking your thumb. So that won't happen. But it's certainly a better way to secure your stuff. And it sounds like they're, you know, that gives you kind of that two-factor authentication in a way that is, like, useful and doesn't put a bunch of extra work on you. And so if the iPad Mini and the iPad Air have those things, that will certainly make them more valuable and useful. Useful pieces. And if iOS 8, speaking of free new operating systems, that's out and available in the wild. You can download it right now and install it. But I'll say there's some things you should know. Of course, you just launched it and now it's all installing. And no, if you have an iPhone 4S, I would say do a little Googling and decide if you want to go to iOS 8 or not. I wouldn't just I wouldn't just go for it and see what happens. Ars Technica has an article that talks about it and says that you don't get all the features. You don't get AirDrop or Touch ID. Obviously, it doesn't have the hardware for that. You don't get handoff for applications, although iPhone call forwarding to other devices does work. And so it just it may be kind of a crowded screen for you. So, and it may feel slow. So, you know, I'd say go if you've got an iPhone 4S and you're trying to decide if you want to go to iOS 8. Go to Ars Technica and read their article and make your decision wisely, and don't find yourself in 3 days looking up Googling how to roll back to earlier iOS operating systems. The other one that's getting some obsolescence out of this, I'll just roll out the bad news. The iPad 2 is I think you can put it on there. They're continuing to update it because it's been it has a lot in common with the non-Retina iPad Mini. It has the same processor and the same size display, but it's the lesser performance in that is going to they say, this is another Ars Technica article, that this time around the new version of iOS 8 appears to make the start of a much bigger decline for the iPad 2, not only in performance but in appearance. So, if you have an iPad 2, you might think about it. And then the last thing is, when you install iOS 8 on your phone, you get an option. You need to think, this is one you need to think about, depending on how you use it. If you're sharing files using iCloud, it gives you an option to update to the new iCloud that goes with it. If you do that and you have like a Mac that hasn't been updated to Yosemite yet, then you won't be able to share stuff between that Mac and the phone until you get Yosemite and install it. So be careful and think about it before you do it. If you get the option, when basically it's going to ask you, do you want to upgrade to the new iCloud? If you tell it no, you can always turn that feature on later. Like, say, when you install Yosemite on your Mac or whatever, you can activate that feature later. But if you say yes, you can't go back. What happens is, Apple updates your account and updates the stuff in your account to the new one, and it's only available to the new type devices, which means it runs iOS 8 and runs Yosemite. So be careful with that one. If just rushing out and putting in the new operating system willy-nilly could lead to disappointment for you. So we wanted to warn you about that one in advance. But otherwise, I mean, the iOS 8 has the start of, there's the cool features that we've talked about kind of all along. They're working towards where you'll be able to, like, take phone calls. If you have your phone and your Mac, you'll be able to take and make phone calls through your computer. You'll be able to hand off, like, start a document on your computer and finish it on your phone or vice versa. There's a lot of kind of cool stuff. There's all kinds of, it's not going to look that much different, but it's going to work a lot different, and especially the kind of integration between your iPhone and your other computers is going to be dramatically better. So that's all I got tonight. I'm Peter Hughes, and that's the InfoShot News.
Thanks for that, Pete. All right. Well, interesting news stuff coming. I did pre-order my iPhone 6 Plus.
The manly phone for manly men plus, with big pockets.
I could be a plus
with
model.
Big, deep pockets. I'm kind of a
I ordered it the morning. I didn't stay up till midnight to try to order it, but they apparently, those are slower to come. 4 to 6 weeks. 4 weeks is what it looks like.
You didn't have to deal with all the server issues, though, apparently. A couple of them is that T-Mobile and someone else had issues. Like, people were trying to, like, you know, it's starting at midnight,
Apple
go in there, and it was up and down. You think
by
now they get the demand.
It was as bad as the live stream of the announcement event.
Yeah, that was, a lot of shine's coming off the Apple. I mean, the video presentation didn't work. I brought my MacBook Air to work so I could watch it, because you have to have an Apple computer to watch it anyway. And that didn't work. Kept having trouble connecting to it.
See, I have a theory. After a certain number of those kind of screwed up keynotes, that will test whether there's an afterlife, because if they keep mucking up the keynote deal, at some point the ghost of Steve Jobs will appear and take over again.
Maybe it is the ghost of Steve Jobs that's doing this because he doesn't want them to ever be as good as his.
That's much more Steve Jobs, I think.
One more thing.
He keeps ripping the license plate off, then you see his car off of Tim Cook's car.
Yeah, so far I haven't seen any evidence that they were doing so great that it would take heavenly intervention to stop them from exceeding Steve. I must say that was one thing when they did the iOS announcement, when they did the one more thing. I'm guessing that may be part of why they announced the watch, is because it's like, well, we can't say the other phone is the one more thing, so, well, how about the watch? Are the iPads ready? No. Yosemite? No. Well, the watch. We'll just tell them it's out next year.
I'm still not convinced on the watch. Like, of course, I also wasn't convinced on the iPad tablet thing. Although that was for me, you know. So I could see other people, but the thing is with a watch, other than like tech people that just want to show off, like the people that used to have the Casio calculator watches, it's only gonna be like, it'll be good for fitness people. Like, if you're a fitness buff, you can spend the money because it can do some cool stuff. But outside of that,
If you work in a big corporate environment, it will be a lot easier to be in a meeting and check your texts than it is to where you had to look at your phone, because you can look at your wrist and see it. But yeah, other than that, I can't see a way that I need one.
For the price just yet. I could see it for a much less lower price.
To do what?
Just to be able to tell time and
a lot cheaper ways to do that.
See who's calling me. A lot of the things that I do find that I pull my phone out of my pocket for a number of things, like, you know, when I get an alert that I've got a meeting coming up or something like that. So there are times that I pull the phone out. So having a device on my wrist that's not obtrusive, that does some of those things, and has a little bit of, you know, style to it, I could see having one, but not at that price.
With location awareness and some of that, I mean, the Apple, that's one of those things they specialize in, is figuring out those other combined uses that you might not have even thought about before you started using it.
I think the generation behind us is going to really benefit, the social media generation.
Is there any haptic feedback in the new watches? So they'll vibrate, they'll do whatever?
Yes.
They need to take it one further, like some electric shocks. Because I don't want to poke someone on Facebook. I want to be able to shock someone. You know, like, hey, you're late for the meeting. Where are you? I think that'd be pretty cool.
I have a vision in my head of someone who has the watch and they're asked the time and they reach in and pull their phone out.
There'll be people for a while. I think when they first get them, that you'll be able to catch that, where they'll do it just by instinct. You know, one of the things with the watch, and no, it's not a compelling reason to get it, but if you already had it, is, you know, when you get a call in the car, I hate that, because you don't really, I have a hands-free, like a Bluetooth hands-free, but it doesn't really announce, it doesn't give you enough information to know. You just hear the ring, so unless it's got a custom ring, you don't know who's calling, and if you'd be able to just, you know, twist your wrist a little on the steering wheel and see who's calling, that would be, and answer the call, say whether you want to answer it or not, that would be nice.
Yeah, I think there's a few things that would make it worthwhile, but not necessarily.
But it's not. Yeah, it's one of those where, yeah, my convenience is not worth $350 for the five times in 6 months that I get a call in the car that I don't have an easy time digging my phone out of my pocket.
See, I always try to guess the price before they state it, and I tend to like go way under, and yeah, I was way under on the watch.
What'd you guess on?
$50?
Well, talk big pricing.
Actually, what I was thinking was, I was like, you know what, they could probably sell a lot of these if it was like $79.
Oh no, I knew.
Or $99.
There's no way. Yeah.
I would have been shocked if they said $199 would have been the,
it was about where I thought it was going to be.
Deals.
I will say that the Apple wearable, the Apple Watch, is the most compelling wearable that I've seen, and it looks like it's light. They managed to make it look light years ahead of all the other offerings.
I haven't really looked at the Android wearables, so I don't know what their price points are. But like the Pebble, you know, it's e-ink and it's $125, somewhere around there, and they make a stainless steel version that's, I think, $50 or something. So for the price point, it's actually not that unreasonable, at least compared to the Pebble. I don't know about the Android ones, but part of it was because I just didn't see a whole lot of purpose for it. Because like when they came out with the first gen MacBook Air and they said it was $1,800, like I actually thought that's a pretty good price for that. like for that size. And functionality, like what they've done, like compressing it down that far, like I thought it was going to be $2,500 or something.
Based on their well no now that to, if you want to spend $2,500, you've got to get a Retina display Mac Pro.
Well, that didn't exist then.
But it, on the plus side, that's at least gotten like cheaper than they because my first Apple laptop was a Wall Street MacBook in like '98. And I got the, they had like three sizes then, and I got the middle one, and that was like, gosh, I think it was like $2,500, and I like found a deal on it to get it, which nowadays, of course, that thing, you know, half an iPhone is faster than, an iPhone 1 is faster than, and has more capacity. But,
did y'all see that, I guess it was in the last couple of weeks, SanDisk? Announced an SD card that's 512 gig
for
photographers.
That.
Is it like $600?
$800. Yeah. Well, I think it was $800.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean that's crazy. This postage size, 512 gig
for video and for taking lots of RAWs. Though I'm sure there are more than a few photographers.
Well, I was just thinking, like, so does that mean that my 64 meg USB flash drive is out of date now?
I'm still hanging on to all of mine. It's awesome, and I need like big storage, and I grab it, and it's like, oh, this is 2 megs. It's like from 1996.
They've moved to sort of the same status as pennies, where there's like the bowl on your desk.
Yeah.
That you take throw
one,
them in.
Take one, please.
Take one, leave one. If you need one, just grab it. You know, where you give it to somebody with a file on it, and it's like, yeah, you don't have to give it back.
All right, 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight. 713-526-KPFT. Groovehouse is standing by to take your calls and get you in the queue. He's already done that with
cuckoo.
One person. I may have gone too far now. The cuckoo. All right, well, here we have a call on the line.
Yes, we do.
We have plenty of open lines at 713-526-KPFT. Groovehouse, who do we have?
Up first on the show, we're going to start it off with John.
Hello, Brother John.
Hello. What can you tell me about SUID on a Mac?
What are you trying?
It exists.
It exists.
It's real.
So it stands for Set User ID. It's just a way to let a non-privileged account run something privileged, like networking stuff, whatever stuff. So if you don't want to have to sudo to root to run like a shell script or whatever, you can set the user ID by doing like chmod plus s and then the file name. And then you can run that as like your user account without having to be root. So that's kind of the use for it. It's a came over from the Unix world.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
The reason that I'm asking about it is because I've run my disk utility to repair permissions, and it flashes up an SUID system library private framework has been altered and will not be repaired. And I can't find anything on the internet. It says, oh, don't worry about it. Mac says, don't worry about it. Other people say, worry about it. It's causing a problem.
Yeah, I'm reading up on it right now.
The SUID file. There's SUID files.
Yeah, SUID file. And I'm not sure what that's connected to.
So here's the thing. So if it looks like if you access, so it's there's ACL lists. So it's control lists, more or less access control lists. And if that runs and it makes some recording, you know, it logs what the different permissions are. And if you go and you change a permission and it doesn't see that permission anymore, you're going to get that error. I'm pretty sure you can ignore that. And Mac also says applesupport.apple.com says you can ignore those too.
So
it's a byproduct. Okay. One of the things about Unix is that, you know, when it runs through things, it gives you a lot of errors. There are errors, There are critical errors, you know, that'll crash the system. There are errors that'll crash your program. There are warnings like, hey, maybe you don't want to do this. There are notices and there are messages. So these are all different levels of reporting in Linux and in Unix. So a lot of times you'll see a lot of things that might kind of freak you out, but it's not that big of a deal. And this is one of those things. It's probably much more, it's not really an error. It's much more of a warning or a notice. Actually, yeah. These are warnings. So it's just one of those things like, hey, if you're a developer, you might want to be aware of this, but it's not really causing any problems.
So okay. The reason that I was going through the disk repair in the first place is that I've got an older machine right now. It's a G5. And lately, it's been having some issues with waking up from sleep or booting up from being shut off. It doesn't go all the way. It starts up like it's going to, and then the screen doesn't light up. It just sits there, and I have to push the button on the machine two or three times to get it to come around.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with the set UID. That could be,
but it could be a sign that the hard drive is trying to go out or having some issues, and then the improper shutdowns and then the false starts are causing some corruption of data.
Yeah.
Or it could be a result of corrupted data because your drive might be going out.
Yeah. Well, I checked the verified disk, and it said the disk was fine, it is an older machine. It's like...
Yeah, well, and they kind of come and go, and they'll do that, and then you can run it, and it'll say there's problems. You should probably, you know, back up all your data and reinstall, and then it...
If you've never done a backup and you don't have, you know, don't have a Time Machine backup or something on one of these older Macs, can you get the operating system to reinstall? Can you download it somewhere, Pete?
You should. Well, the older machine like that, you'll have the disk. You should have the
DVD. Yeah, I've got a disk for it.
Okay.
Plus, well, probably to run the disk repair, you're running it off the DVD. Right?
Yeah. I had started it up, held C, and when I booted, and I ran it off of the disk and tried to do it that way, but it didn't resolve it.
Well, if it's an older computer and you have it, even Macs like to be reloaded now and again, so it might be worth your time to consider, you know, pulling off your data and
yeah, I pull off most of it, and I need to get another external drive to get the rest of it.
Right.
If the machine's that old, though, you can go buy a thumb drive for about $15 that'll hold everything that's on that hard drive.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I figured that was going to be my next move is clear everything off and just reinstall the system.
Yeah, that might be worthwhile just to see if that clears up some of the boot and shutdown problems.
Yeah.
It might just be software-related. It may not be an indication of an actual hardware problem, but you would know for sure pretty quick.
Yeah.
Plus, you'd have gone through the process.
Buy me some time, maybe, to get me a new machine.
Also, you'd have gone through the process, and you'd have a nice, good backup of all the stuff that's important to you before anything else could go wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, thanks very much.
Thanks for your call. Good luck, Don.
Bye. Right, bye.
Yeah, if I'd had, I didn't have time to do it before the show, but. There's an open source old macOS emulator that runs on both Windows and Mac, and I had thought about it would be fun to install it and put it full screen, so you've got, you know, macOS 6 where there's still the disk icon on the desk, the floppy disk icon on the desktop, and the file windows that have the lines in them. The guy apparently has ported like Mac Paint. There's different apps that he's ported to it, so now you can make your MacBook Air run like it's 1983. You can choose which, you can emulate which they have, like the original Mac, the Mac Plus, the Mac SE. They go through. There's a long list of all these old machines that you can set up to emulate on there, and it was kind of. I thought that'd be fun. Of course, there's no browser.
713-526-5738. We are coming up to the end of the first hour, but we still have time to take a call or two. If you'd like to be on the air with Technology Bites, you can give us a ring. Groovehouse would be happy to get you in the queue at 713-526-KPFT. So now I've got iOS 8 on my phone. I'm trying to see something cool.
I couldn't get it to install on mine. I've tried several times,
yeah,
and it won't go on the Nexus.
It said the screen you're using is too big.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get my new phone, though. I got to say, I'm pretty excited about the idea of use. I bought the 6 Plus because I'm going to use it as the iPhone upgrade and a replacement for the iPad.
There you go.
No. I've never used the iPad.
So have you seen any screenshots for like apps that they've included, you know, to see what they're doing with the additional real estate? I heard that they have added more data. Like always before, they just kind of stretched the screens, but now with the next generation
the
of apps,
the only thing I've seen is
more data.
Is in the article that talked about how the 4S might not be a great candidate for iOS 8. It said you've only got so much screen real estate, and it showed it where by the time it had a keyboard and the other stuff that iOS 8 has,
kind of
that you couldn't really see much content left on the screen. So there's that.
So are you asking how many icons can you get on the new screen?
Oh, no, I'm just asking, like, what exactly are they doing with all that real estate? Like, are they adding, like, any menu? Or are they, you know, so that's what I heard. I heard that, you know, because 8 was designed for a bigger phone, it gets kind of crowded on the old phones. But I'm wondering, like, well, what did they add to make it more crowded? You know, not having seen the screenshots or been paying a lot of attention.
Bigger icons.
I do like sideways email.
Oh, you didn't have that before?
No.
Really?
No, I don't think the mail app would let you do your mail sideways.
Yeah, I think it was only.
Oh, that's like the cut and paste stuff that you just think would be there, but oh wow.
Oh no, it's like I have a 2012 Android now.
Yeah, like the Samsung ad says, where they were trying to imply that Apple copied them, that they are, you know, that they already had this out, and now Apple's copying them, but.
Yeah, on the other hand, that you should talk about how often you get updates to your OS. When
yeah, really. Well, the you're going for the kind of combine where you have you're getting the phablet phone, and so you're not going to do the tablet thing. I think I may stay with the smaller phone, and I'd rather have a Retina display iPad Mini, because when I get out, then with LTE would be the idea. So that
it does? Okay, I was wrong.
Does yours not?
He may have locked it or never tried it or
Afflicted has wizardly email skills, so you know.
Or did you upgrade to iOS 8?
Is it jailbroken?
Well, so turn yours to the side. Have you ever tried turning it to the side?
I'm trying to remember what I saw in the keynote that talked about there was something that would not go sideways and now it does. In iOS 8.
This show can go sideways from time to time.
Very easily and quickly. But yeah, I think I'd rather have the phone with the smaller screen and then have a although actually the thing that I'm torn, because the iPad Air is so light and keeps getting lighter, that it's really a tough deal between the price difference isn't that huge between a like Retina Mini and the Air, the sort of full size Air. And I keep going back, and fortunately, until the new one comes out and has been out a little bit, I'm not really up against. I've got my Nexus 7 is fine, and I like it. I think I like that form factor better. It's just, of course, once one hits a certain age, then the bigger screen means that you could like read it without having to, you know, use reading glasses. You know, use some cheaters on it, which smaller screens I kind of have to now. I don't have to do it for computer screens. You know, if the screen's big enough, I'm okay. But and that's one other thing that didn't get on the news, but another thing that Dell announced, that they did announce the price on, is a beyond 4K monitor.
Mm.
They're calling it the 5K monitor, and I think that's because it's got over 5,000 pixels across. So it's bigger than 4 high-def, you know, 1080p screens together in it's a 27 inch. And the thing to me is, it seems like if you've got that many pixels, if the screen is 27 inches, then you're maybe not really buying high resolution, but you're not really buying where you can have more content on the screen unless you can read microscopic text.
Yeah, you've got to get up really close to that
point. It seems like they're going the wrong direction. They're going small on the computer screens and they should be going bigger, like a 32 inch with that. Seems like then you'd be getting really four big extra screens of room. Now, the thing the reason we don't have to worry about it other than academically is this device. First off, you have to have a like Retina Mac Pro or a Retina MacBook Pro or a full on Mac Pro desktop to drive it.
For a pretty pricey video card.
Or you're going to be dropping some big video card money. It's $2,500 just for the monitor. for the one monitor. But, you know, then again, that's in place of four.
All right.
Four full-size monitors.
I know what it is that I was thinking of. It's not the iOS that does it. It's the iPhone 6, the home screen rotates. Like it does on the iPad. That was what I was thinking of.
Okay.
So
true.
So just take your meal superiority and
that,
go
that
home.
That does not happen.
That does not happen. I tested that just to be sure. I knew it was something turned sideways that didn't before. I don't do much email on my phone, but the home screen not going sideways was...
Android's had that for a while. We can actually even choose between do we want rotate or do we not rotate.
I tell you one thing. Okay, we want to talk about phone versus phone here.
Dun, dun, dun.
I've dropped this phone as many times as you've probably dropped all of your phones. I still have the same phone because I can drop it.
All right,
and
you win.
And there's no visible tape, cracks, or
although you've done
spackling.
A pretty good job with
this one, the red one, you know.
Oops, crash.
Yeah.
All right. They got a call in the queue, so let's get that, and then we can take our break. Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who do we have?
Up next, we're going to kick it with Carl.
Carl, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
How y'all doing tonight?
Good.
I'm coming going to buy a new iPhone. My 4S is, like, fully degrading. And but I'm wondering, I went to the iPhone store, and they were talking about, well, I would stick with the lower memory, and then, you know, where you just take it off and back it up on your computer. What do you think about that?
Well, what do you use the phone for? Do you take a lot of pictures or anything like that? Or are you going to be shooting video?
I do some of that, yeah. I do all that.
How much space do you have on your 4S right now, total? Yeah.
64
gigs?
Is it pretty full?
Well, that's a good question. I thought about after I got on the hold that I should look at that. But
I think if you've got the latest OS, not iOS 8.
iOS 7, you can go to general and you can look at your usage and see what you're using. But it's a true enough statement that the 128 gig iPhone is probably overkill for most people.
I have a laptop that doesn't even have 128 gigs on it.
So the 60 going with a 64, or did they skip 32? Is it going 16, 64, 128 on the iPhone 6?
I thought it was that they wasn't it the base they, one.
I think they skipped. One of them. Let me see if I can go to Apple.com and see. But
I know the sizes were that it was larger in the first. I thought it was larger in the first place, even the base one, but I could be wrong.
You know, you can save money by getting this, you know, the smaller phone and the less amount of storage.
Mm-hmm.
But it really depends on what you're going to be using it for. I for one, you know, the price jump between the 32 and the 128 or whatever it is. Let's see if I can compare the models and see.
It's a 16, 64, and 128.
They skip 32.
Okay,
so if you got a 16, it would be less than what you have now.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd fill that up faster.
Yeah.
Or you could buy the so maybe the middle one, the 64, to be like what you have now.
Yeah.
The other choice that you have that's out there, and there's several of them around, there's now external hard drives that have Wi-Fi that you can basically they're designed to work with tablets and phones and that, where it's got a 1 terabyte or a 2 terabyte drive in it, and you can offload whatever to it, you know, copy the files to there with it wirelessly. That's the idea.
Can you do
for
it
that
from
was
an
for
iPhone,
like movies
though?
And stuff. Yeah,
you would do like AirDrop or something, or how would you do that? How would you mount
I know
a share?
That it said that it would do the. I know that it said you could access it and store files. With
I'm just
it.
Trying to figure out how you could do that with
Western
an iPhone.
Digital.
Like find a wireless storage device on the iPhone. How would you search for that? But at any rate, so you know if money is an object, then you might save money by not getting the fattest one they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll probably go to 64, and I'm looking at the Plus, too, just because it was either, you know, like the iPad is real attractive because of the larger screen, and but I'm going to try, like you, I think, Jay, to use it something in between, so.
Yeah, I mean, maybe getting the Plus with 64 gig would probably be a nice sweet spot.
The Western Digital has an app.
An app that talks to the phone?
That you put on your iOS.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That talks to the wireless drive.
That makes sense. All right. Well, I hope that helps a little bit.
Yep. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, thanks for your call. All right. Well, we are coming. Well, we've got a little bit of time left, but we're coming up to the top of the hour. We have to take a little station break, and then we come back and do more show. But if you want to get in the queue, 713-526-5738. What are you smiling at, Groovehouse?
We just laughing over a Instagram account I just found.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
Passenger shaming.
Passenger shaming.
On yeah, planes?
That's the username, passenger shaming. On the plane, yes. You won't believe some of the things these people do on the airplane. Oh, yeah.
I can't spell passenger shaming, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Host shaming.
Radio show shaming.
Oh, they do.
Ew,
they
have a. They have a. Yeah.
They have
yeah
a,
that's
they,
never what you want to see coming
they
up
in between.
They
have a Facebook page, too.
Oh, nice.
Passenger shaming.
Oh, they sure do.
I would almost rather see, like, the Twilight Zone gremlin on the plane's wing than, like, you know, like some unsocked feet coming up from between the seats behind.
Sticking up over.
Yeah.
This guy's got his shirt off and he's just laying there.
Oh, so
it's,
yeah.
So it's sort of people of Walmart of the air.
So right.
There's a device that lets you, I guess it's I get marketed towards taller people. It
knee
lets
locker.
You,
the
yeah,
knee
exactly.
Knee defender.
And
knee
so
defender.
Someone got kicked off a plane. They turned the plane around because the guy refused. The woman refused to take it off the seat.
Right.
They were, I think it was a man. He
was
over 6 feet tall.
The guy refused, and the
yeah,
woman,
and the woman
him got mad. And
threw
they,
a drink on
they
him.
They were yelling at each
yeah
other.
And, so it's like, don't make me turn this plane around, said the pilot, and he did.
Yeah. Somebody had a theory, and it's been disproven, but it was so brilliant. If you were the guy who made Knee Defender, that guy got so much free publicity for the price. If he had set it up, if it was a setup, it would have been for the price of 2 plane tickets. He got national coverage for his product.
Except almost every airline has said, hey, you can't use that on our planes now. They've all kicked
oh
it out.
They,
yeah,
they
in reaction to, yeah. So any device that obscure, because I guess maybe, I don't know. I'm sure there's a safety reason they came up with. They said, don't do that.
Yeah, there's a it's the special category of what I call BS safety reasons that
yeah
they like to use.
The thing is, I mean, in a crash, you're supposed to put the seat backs up, so it will let you do that. That's fine, actually. It's helping out. It's getting
right
everyone that
I'm
much closer
to
being prepared for a crash landing.
Oh, one thing on these wirelesses, 2 terabyte Wi-Fi mobile storage, like the Western Digital one, it's a little over a couple $100. Which compared to how much is it to go from the 64? I guess it's $100
yeah
to go from the 64 to the 128.
Still
but,
not a terabyte.
It's not 2 terabytes.
Okay.
That's 2 terabytes for that. So.
All right. Well, we are going to take a short break here and take care of some station business, and then we'll come back to take more calls on the air. So if you want to get in the queue, 713-526-5738. This is Technology Bites. We're here every Wednesday night. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's
Groovehouse.
Yay, Groovehouse.
Cuckoo.
Hi, Laurie McNeil.
Hi, John Wilkerson.
We are back to tell you more about the KPFT Tennis Fun Fest.
It will be at the Homer Ford Tennis Center in McGregor Park. Previously, we didn't have enough time to tell you about our clinic.
Laurie, I've got a question for you. Did you enjoy tennis more playing against the best players in the world, or do you enjoy it more now giving clinics?
John, as a player, Wimbledon is it, but there's also something special about coaching.
You mean when you're coaching at the Zena Garrison Tennis Academy and at the KPFT Tennis Fun Fest?
Yes, it's rewarding to offer a tip and to see a player improve right before my eyes.
And that's what you expect on Saturday, October the 11th at the KPFT Tennis Fun Fest?
Absolutely, but people have to sign up. All levels are welcome.
For more information, go to kpft.org or call 713-526-4000.
That's 713-526-4000. The fee is $75 for adults and $60 for kids, but kids' scholarships are available.
We'll see you there.
You can help KPFT day or night every time you shop. Your grocery store's loyalty card can be associated with KPFT, and you support the station anytime you buy at no additional cost to you. At Kroger, bring the barcode printed on your member packet or from kpft.org, then scan it along with your Kroger Plus card each time you go to the register. You'll be donating to KPFT every time you shop. At Randall's, simply visit customer service to link your Randall's Remarkable card to KPFT's organization number 4931. That's 4931. 1% of your purchase will go to KPFT each time you shop. If you missed any of that information, you can visit kpft.org to learn more. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston, kpft.org worldwide. You can also find KPFT on Facebook and Twitter.
You're listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston. Now back to whatever this is.
This is Technology Bites. It's Flicked Show within a show of shows. All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight. We've got one call in the queue, and all the other lines are open. We're here to talk to you about all of our speculations on the new iOS and the new iPhones. And Pete, you had said something. There's probably another announcement coming up, right, from Apple?
Yeah.
About the iPad?
Yeah, in October, late October, there should be an iPad announcement.
So
the rumoring is started.
All your Christmas shopping are belong to Apple.
Well, and the plus side to that, the good thing about
copyright
it...
Copyright infringement, can't use the word plus.
No, the positive thing about that, about announcing it around October like that, is then you'll have whatever the new latest and greatest is, but also the prices on the existing ones should
go down.
And Black Friday's already over.
Which makes it in October. No. I know they're doing stuff earlier. I know when I go to the store, I go to Costco, and they actually have Christmas decorations. They had Halloween stuff up in August, and now they've got Christmas stuff.
That's why they have now. They're having Black Friday before Halloween.
So, yeah, but I think it's still the one after. But you know, the positive side of it is that that should make it easier for anybody who's interested in getting one to find something that's useful, that's good. Obviously, here's one tip: whatever good deal you can get on an iPad 2, don't. It's now that finally has passed to. That's passing to where you don't want to.
Well, the 4 is that's one to give to kids. The iPhone 4 is also obsolete now, or considered obsolete.
iOS, they didn't make it to run iOS 8 on the 4.
Oh, wow.
So the 4S is the lowest device that can run iOS 8.
Oh, you're talking phones. On iPads. on iPads is what I'm talking about.
No, we're talking about Apple devices in general. Chiming in.
Well, but the on the iPad thing, the iPad 2 is – this is kind of – they're dragging it along because it's got the same specs as the mini, as the iPad mini, but no matter how good a deal you're getting on it, you don't want to do that. You can find a better deal on even an iPad 3 with a Retina display is going to be a better choice, or getting the mini, because the mini without the Retina display, I don't know that that'd be a great idea either, just from my suggestions to you if you're looking at that stuff.
All right. Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have on the line?
All right. Up next on the second half of the show, we're going to start it off with Joe.
Joe, you're on the air. Whoa, Joe.
Yes, hello?
Hey, Joe, you're on the air.
Great. Yeah, my question is, I've got some great old printers, 5-8 years old, HP, I think it's a P1006, but they're obsolete now. I'm getting a new laptop, and with Windows 8, I'm not able to hook it up to that old printer, and I didn't know if there was any kind of a patch or an update so that printer would be able to communicate with these laptops with the more recent operating systems.
Go ahead. You should be able to just install a general PCL driver. There should be generic drivers, so even though you may not see that specific model, for instance, like it may not say HP P1006, there should be like PCL, is it PCL 5, PCL 6?
PCL 5 is a really common one.
Yeah.
That will work with a lot of old HP printers.
Yeah, I mean,
or I got a better suggestion. If you go to the HP site for the HP LaserJet P1006, you can download Windows 8 64-bit or 32-bit drivers.
Too easy.
So okay. I think your thought that it's obsolete may be a little misguided.
I guess I'm so lazy because I'm so used to them just automatically updating stuff for me that I just figure it can't be done. But
now if
they're still making a fortune selling you toner, so they'll letting you print to it.
Yeah, but I just did a Google search on a HP LaserJet P1006 Windows 8, and it took me right to the HP driver page, and it has Windows 8.1 drivers right there.
Okay. Right, and I also wanted to say a few years ago, you guys did a public announcement for a Houston makerspace called TXRX Labs, and I happen to be listening, and I've been involved with the group, so I appreciate you hooking me up with that information. They're a really neat group to be involved in.
Yeah, they've been growing, too. They've got air conditioning, and they're in a much bigger space. Yeah, if anyone else was thinking about checking them out and hasn't, they should definitely go out and do that. I think it's still txrxlabs.org. Cool. Glad we could turn you on to that.
All right. Thanks for your call and happy printing. There we go.
And we hope you land safely.
Well, he's probably just testing out his aerodynamicness.
He found the printer on the side of the highway and thought he'd call us. There's something coming up on TV, not one that we've been passing around in email. Something else I saw, but it's on next week, so I wanted to mention it. There's on PBS, there's going to be a show where they're essentially the idea of the show is they're talking to baby boomers about their lives and what's changed and what's going on. Well, they're getting the guy that we would, you know, why would we be talking about it on this show? Well, Woz is going to be on it. They're going to talk to Steve Wozniak, and he is always interesting. And so that's one, if you're into computer stuff and all of that, and especially if you're an Apple head, then you might that might be worth catching, because he's entertaining, and he doesn't just drink the Apple Kool-Aid. You can hear him say stuff about he tells it when they're not doing things that he thinks that he would do differently. He'll mention it, and he's got the credibility. So just thought I'd put that one out there.
Y'all, this is not really related, but it made me think of it. Do y'all ever watch the series on YouTube? The Kids React, Teens React, Elders React. So it's like Kids React to
one or two.
Rotary Phone. Yeah. That's a really good one. But just a week or two ago, they had...
YouTube or PBS?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. Okay. So it's like 7 to 12 minutes. Like, they have Elders React to dubstep. Mm-hmm. Teens React to an original Nintendo Entertainment System console. Because most of them have never seen them.
Or even certain videos
never played
and whatever.
The games.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Videos. Originally, it started off with just having them watch other YouTube things, phenomenons like memes and stuff. But it's moved on to where now they like will bring out like the kids. They brought out an old Apple IIe, I think it was. It was an old Apple, and they had them like, "What is this? How do you use this?" They did the same thing with the rotary phone. But the one I specifically wanted to mention that was because it was really interesting was they had elders react to the Oculus Rift, which is really cool because. I don't know, like, from me reading the article, like, at the Wired article, and read some other stuff about the Oculus Rift, I really think it's like a game changer in the culture, because it's the first VR system that doesn't have that the tech has gotten good enough that the screen resolution on the eyes is good enough and the processing is fast enough that you don't get that dissonance between when you move your head and when it moves gotcha. What you see. And so people that are prone to motion sickness and stuff don't get that from it, because it really moves with your head, and what it doesn't glitch, it doesn't, it's really good. And so
it's not going to be the skinny jeans of VR where old people need not apply.
So I think it's going to be a big deal. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of applications for it when it comes out. And the price point, like, they're selling, these are like developer ones, specifically with, you know, developer kits with, you know, SDKs and stuff. They're like $350, right? This isn't the commercial version that's out. So I'm thinking the price point's not going to be too crazy. And So I think it's just going to be like good. But then watching the elders react and them putting on and their response to it, because, you know, these are pretty old people that didn't see this coming in their lifetime, you know. So it's really, it's crazy to kind of watch them and how they respond to it and their opinions of it, and it's pretty positive. So I think it's, I think it says something good very sign. Good about the technology.
Yeah, because if they put it on and you start seeing them try to do the control alt delete move over and over, then you know there's a problem, even if they can't talk anymore.
No, it's when they try to stick their finger in there and do a touch screen on the inside. 713-526-5738 is the number to call if you want to be on the air. I saw somebody trying to dial in, but I guess they gave up. But you could try to call back.
Call back.
Call back.
You know, earlier we were talking about the, you know, who would buy the Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. The one, there's a thing I'm wondering about is, and I don't know if you guys have seen it or thought about it, is have you seen the 8-inch Windows tablets that are inexpensive? There's like an Asus one. Apparently it's the full like operating system and all this stuff, and they're a couple hundred bucks and they're out there. And the thing about it is it's kind of like, I just kind of wonder who they think is going to. Now I thought about it because from the standpoint of, you know, for somebody who's doing tech support or whatever, it's got the operating system on it. It doesn't have to be super fast because you just, you know, if we used something like that on the show, if somebody called in with a question, obviously you could just use it and get the. But I, you know, I, it just seems to me like that it would be, it's kind of a disaster in the making as far as people really actually, if they ever really tried to use it, if it would be effective or not. And I just wondered if, especially Jay, with working in, you know, Windows support and that, if that's something that anybody at work tried to bring one or...
Nobody's brought one in yet. I mean, I know that Microsoft is giving away some of their tablets.
If the screen is below 9 inches or something, then they don't charge you for the operating system, which is why they're so cheap. That's
really?
Why they're a couple hundred bucks, yeah. Yeah, that was... Because I wondered that too. You sort of go, gee, $200, isn't that what Microsoft wants for their cut? How is Asus making any money off this? And it's real brands. It's not like, you know, it's not some bizarre import. You know, I found it on Alibaba and there was, you know, I bought 400 of them for $100. I bought a shipping container of them for $50 and I'm trying to sell them now here at the side of the road with pirated DVDs. But yeah, it's a device where you just sort of go, okay, where's the market demand, and is anybody gonna try to buy one of these or do it? I'm not even curious enough about Windows 8 to even, you know, I guess if it was like $50 and I was really, really bored, maybe, or somebody gave me the $50 or handed me the tablet and said, here, you want this? But I don't know about going out and actually.
At that price point, it probably makes great giveaways at the company Christmas party and stuff like that.
Ooh, that's true. Or if you had just that one app that you needed a Windows 8 machine for, you know, in your if in some sort of support role or whatever, buy that and you've got it and you can use whatever other devices you want for the rest of the time.
713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air, Groovehouse is currently screening a call. But he'd be happy to take another call as soon as he gets this one queued up and ready for us to put on the air. So 713-526-KPFT to be on the air with Technology Bytes. Very special Peter in the studio episode.
Live in person.
All right. So.
It's like an appearance from the clowns in your nightmares.
Can't sleep.
Doesn't happen
Technology
all the time.
Bytes will eat me. All right, well, they're talking Groovehouse's ear off.
Is anyone watching current Doctor Who? Are you all caught up?
No, I'm still watching.
Not to talk about it, but the latest Doctor Who thing had, you know, like a hand coming out. I haven't watched it, but it's a hand coming out from under the bed and very slowly grabbing someone's ankles. And they're talking about, like, you know, why is it that everyone in the world always has this recurring dream? It's because it's not a dream. So, yeah, Doctor Who's gotten scary. Not a spoiler necessarily.
Yeah. So what do you, you know, you've watched him. What do you think of the new Doctor?
I like him. He's grown on me. I don't think the storylines have been as great. The writing has been as great as in the past, but I think it's going to take a little bit of time. But yeah, I'm cool with the Doctor.
It's not that it hasn't gone into scary territory recently.
Weeping Angels.
The Weeping Angels is kind of creepy.
I'm not. That's creepy, but at the same time, a weeping angel isn't going to stop me from getting up at 2 in the morning to go get a drink of water. Whereas a hand coming out from under my bed did a couple nights ago. So,
an actual hand, yeah. Right?
They said it was just a dream. It's fine.
They said go back to bed.
It doesn't. Okay, here's my horror story. Just I was today, you know, got up this morning. I get up before daylight. And Cynthia says, well, the trash is kind of stinky and it's trash day, so take the trash out. So I took the trash out and I grabbed the can that's already been filling up, take it out, because they don't like us to put it out by the fence or where the garbage man comes to collect it until trash day. So we have to keep it back in the backyard or in the back patio until it's time to go. So I go out, it's like 5:30 this morning, I go outside, I pull out the trash bag in the kitchen, and then I go out, turn off the alarm, unlock the back door, go out, and I grab the can by the handle to pull it out, take this all out to the fence so the trash man can get it. And I'm lumbering through the darkness, dragging this thing behind me, and all of a sudden I feel a rat crawl up my arm.
No.
Right out of the trash can. So fortunately it didn't bite me, but I have been watching The Strain, you know, so and this whole Ebola thing, so it's like, there is nothing that gets your heart pumping.
So did you just shake it off, or where did the rat wind up?
He ended up around halfway to my elbow. I felt it as I'm dragging this thing behind me, and it sprung off from there. Fortunately, it didn't spring onto like my head or my back or something.
Pants, yeah.
And then I screamed like a girl and probably woke the neighbors up, but yeah.
Meanwhile, tonight on Ratnology Bites, I was just sitting there.
I was driving through town.
I was having my dinner. I was having breakfast. It was still dark even. And suddenly this huge hulking figure came and dragged my house out towards the curb. I started running up. Anyways.
I didn't have a nightmare, but last night I watched the concert and documentary footage about Gogol Bordello. And they like play a lot and have pretty crazy shows and party a lot, and so sometime last night I had a dream that I was like hanging out with that guy and an entourage, like going from place to kind of being dragged along with this to like just partying, going to place to place. It was kind of, I woke up tired.
It was like being
that's not a bad dream. Yeah, that's kind of, you know.
All right, 713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air, we've got time, plenty of time left in the show. We got two calls in the queue. Let's see. Caller comment. Just wanted to call and let you guys know you're doing a great job. Go team! Awesome.
And it wasn't a mom or anything.
Wasn't one of y'all's moms.
It'd have been weird if it was mine.
Me too.
All right, Groove House.
Yes.
Who do we have up next that's not one of our moms?
That would be Krishna.
Krishna, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi, everybody. You guys have an excellent show and all that. Very funny. Well, I particularly like that one in which the mouse dragged the house.
Ratnology Bites.
I'm a resident, and when I was in hostel, a rat bit my toe. And after that, I had to get rabies shots, and I was limping around, hazing me around the place.
I bet we all have a rat story to tell.
No, I know. Well, my question is this. I'm a doctor, and I roam around in the hospitals with a white coat, you know, a lab coat. Yeah. I'm trying to get a computer which is going to be able to be connected to all the computer systems in all the hospitals. Every one of them have a different system. And if you log him in, then I can go to the computer, the hospital, put on my computer from my lab coat, and see all the patients in the computer and do my work and move on to the next hospital. And my friend has been doing it, and he says that he has a 11-inch Mac Air laptop.
MacBook Air.
That's pretty nice, and it's tiny enough to where you can almost, you know, put it in a big pocket in lab coat and it not be super heavy.
It's pretty light.
Yeah. It's nice.
Have you seen one? Have you had a chance to hold one?
Yeah, I've seen one, but the pockets in my coat are not large enough, so I had to get new coats, and then I
upgrade your coat.
Yeah, I have to make the pockets bigger, because otherwise I'll lose them the day one. I mean, there are some guys who carry it like a postman and under their armpits. I mean, I can never. not lose it. I'll leave it somewhere, and that's the end of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you could just, couldn't you modify the existing lab coats and put bigger pockets on? Isn't there real estate
for you? You could make
it?
A sling for it, too.
Actually, now you're saying this, I was thinking about it. It might be a better idea for me to just fix and put bigger pockets in them.
If you talked to a good tailor, they could probably make sure and you'd know that it was done right and that it wasn't going to...
You could even put an inside pocket where that thing would slide in like a breast pocket.
Ooh, that would be the better way, concealed.
Always, it's always an inside pocket because otherwise when you sit on a chair, it'll fall on the ground.
If you want some ideas for that before you make something, there's a site called Google Scott eVest. And they make coats and stuff that have pockets for that kind of stuff.
They have like 75
And they may give you some
pockets.
Ideas for how to make your lab coat. You should be, by their technology, you could carry like an entire computer store in your lab coat.
They may even have like a vest or a shirt or something you could even, you know, wear under that or do something like Peter said. They make they make things with concealed pockets for electronics, everything from just a couple of pockets all the way up to like Flickit said, I think their highest one tops out at like 80 pockets.
Including carrying laptops.
Yeah.
As I was saying, that my requirement of the computer was that I needed a really fast internet connection to all the addresses of the hospitals when I log in. And once I log in, then I should really be moving really fast in the computer and getting into a lot of stuff and getting my patients and doing my notes and all that.
Well,
With voice recognition thing. Do you know what I'm talking about? The one in which you talk and it types it for you.
Oh, Dragon Naturally.
Yeah.
You know which one that is?
Yeah.
That one. I paid money for that in my office, and that's an IBM type computer system in the office.
You probably would have to pay to you could probably purchase an upgrade and change platforms.
Okay. Because if I have to go, then I have to buy a Macintosh version of that stupid thing, and then I can use it on that Mac Pro Air. So my question was, I also heard that you guys were talking about a 9-inch very effective tablet. If 9-inch would be even smaller than the Mac Pro Air, the 11-inch, right?
That's true. The Windows 8 tablet, there are some new ones out. The thing is, I haven't seen anybody like test using it, so I don't know. You know, they're not going to have huge processors in them, so it's not going to be.
All it needs is to have a fast internet connection.
Well, that's where we're breaking down, I think, a little bit, because if you buy a laptop, it does not come with a cellular data. So you would have to be connected to the Wi-Fi at the hospital you're visiting.
I will be connected to the Wi-Fi, through the Wi-Fi, I'll be able to log into the hospital computer system. So it really depends on the speed of the
Wi-Fi.
Well, right?
Conceivably.
Assuming that they have everything open for you.
Yeah, because the Wi-Fi that they might have up and available to connect to, unless it's the company Wi-Fi behind the firewall, you won't be able to connect to the systems necessarily. Your friend, it sounds like your colleague who's doing it might have some more insight into that.
Right. I looked at it, and there's also, I'm sorry I'm taking your time.
That's okay.
I just have one more question, and that is that when I see the patient, after that, I bill them electronically. So electronically, I have to do a paper billing, and I have to take it to my office, and they have to do it electronically through their desktop. Now, I was wondering if I have a way in which I'm connected to that billing thing, that I can bill it from that laptop that I'm carrying around. So at the end of the day, I've seen my patients, I've done my notes, and I've also done the billing. Something?
Yeah, that could be pretty complicated because what would happen is you'd have to make your in-office system. I'm sure there's like a central server for that billing system, right?
Right.
And then you'd have to make that securely available to outside, like to the internet, and be able to access it from your machine outside. And those billing systems are very proprietary.
Are you using a billing system that you're hosting yourself, or are you using an online service?
I have no idea what service we are using. We have an office. We have three offices, and we have lots of computers there, but we use one company side.
Okay, but my thought is that you might be outsourcing your billing to a third-party system where you're logging in through a web interface. So as long as that's accessible to you from the internet, then you could do your billing from a remote device. But I would talk to your IT staff, about whoever's managing your computer systems, and talk to them about what might be a viable solution for you. Because without knowing your IT infrastructure, it's hard for us to make suggestions on which way you should go with that.
Some of that also depends on when you're hopping around the hospitals, what the hospital setups are as far as what they allow, what kind of outbound connections they allow. So, you know, it could be that if you're at one hospital, you can get to your billing system if it's hosted remotely. But if you're at another hospital, you can't because they don't allow outbound traffic like
that. So if it ends up being some kind of web-based interface that you can get to from an internet connection, then it might be more beneficial to go with an iPad or something with a data plan.
Okay.
But I would definitely have a conversation with whoever's managing your IT infrastructure and see what they suggest and what the realities are for being able to access that system remotely.
And the other way that you could get, you know, if you were doing the laptop thing and the billing system is online, is you could get like a Wi-Fi access point, a cellular access point that you could carry in your pocket, and then you could, you know, basically connect to that network for going outside to your billing system separate from the hospital.
Although those sometimes, if you get like in the dark cavernous recesses of some of the hospitals in the hospital district, you'll be hard pressed for signal. But you could always pop out somewhere, I'm sure, and get signal if you needed to.
Yeah, what's the website that somebody gave me about this computer connection and lab coats?
To look at some places that do clothing that's designed to carry that stuff, it's called, if you Google Scott, like the name Scott, E-Vest.
Like Echo Vest.
It's actually, it's scottevest.com.
Oh, okay.
So scottevest.com.
Okay.
All right, thanks for your call. Have a good evening.
Yeah, my daughter is a nurse and works at a hospital. At the previous hospital she worked, and they had some kind of system where they could do that sort of electronic stuff, except the Wi-Fi was managed so badly that they all had to cluster around the machine that was wired because that was the only thing that got any throughput. And you kind of go, you know, with the money that's spent in hospitals, I mean, that's a perfect place for a mesh network. You have control. Or at least, you know, it sounded like they had problems where they had to, like, it sounded to me like they were treating the wireless network and the wired network were totally separate, so that you had to, like, log out of one and log into it. And it sounded to me like somebody who did not know how to set up even a most rudimentary Wi-Fi access point and deal with the network with it. And it's like, you know, come on, guys. You know, you're running the hospital. If you're really that concerned about allocating IP addresses, you know, get a radius box and, you know, do DHCP from one place, and then your network's seamless. You know, it's not rocket science anymore. I mean, that used to be complicated stuff, but having a hospital that can't handle
Up an appropriate mesh network that's got good coverage and that does handoffs well,
a little tougher than it sounds,
that's still a little bit of black magic going on.
Yeah, there's that, but the thing is,
like once you get into antenna tech and stuff,
have some money. Yeah,
antenna tech's all sort of, even the antenna engineers are like, because there's a lot of black magic.
We went to a presentation where they said RF at the upper frequencies is magic. We don't.
It sets off red flags for me though when somebody's talking about some Wi-Fi routers scattered around the floor and using this and treating that as the same level of arcane as a mesh network. Then you know that somebody is I think BSing might be the.
Hold on, are they trying to come in through the neck gear or the Linksys? All right, guys, come on, Cisco or something, something enterprise.
Well, half of them, if you just give it the same name on the wireless network, it all.
Well,
the new ones kind of will, even if it's not the same brand.
All right, 713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air with us tonight, we've got plenty of time left in the show. And we'd be happy to take your call, 713-526-KPFT. Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have up next?
Up next, we're going to speak with Dave.
Dave, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yes. Hi, guys.
Hello.
I have I'm a senior citizen, and I'm in bad need of a desktop, a laptop, rather. And I called one of the dealers, I mean, like Best Buy, and I got a price for like $399. And I'm, you know, I'm working on a fixed income. And so what I was wondering, by the time they got through putting Microsoft and loading all the other stuff on that, well, it was, you know, over $500. And, you know, I had like $300 or $400, you know. So I was wondering is if I could just go ahead and buy it like it is and then load in like CorelDRAW and eSword, which is the two things that I use a lot, making, preparing for notes, you know, for Bible study and things.
Well, here's the situation is that if you have some of those older software packages, they may not be compatible with the new operating system.
Oh, that's
eSword
true.
Looks current. You might have a little bit of luck with CorelDRAW, or you might not have much luck with CorelDRAW.
You might be better off considering, like, because what they're wanting, what that extra few hundred bucks is buying is Microsoft Office probably, mm-hmm. which is Word and Excel and all that. Now, there's a free, there's OpenOffice, which is a free version of all that software, which you could download and try out. But certainly, if your software that you already have is compatible with the new operating system, you could install that as well.
Okay.
There's also, you can also look, there's some stuff is free for like cloud, like for, if you're not doing, you know, it sounds like you're retired. And so you're not doing like corporate work where you would possibly absolutely need Word. There's a program called Evernote. There's also OneNote from Microsoft that lets you write up documents and write up notes. Fairly comparable to Word as far as for just a person taking notes or writing.
Yeah, but let's
find
out what
that's free.
What are you creating your documents for? Are you sharing these with other people? Are you putting out a newsletter? Are you just keeping information on your computer that you're referencing later? What are you doing?
No, I'm actually printing it out. You know, once I get it out in CorelDRAW, but then I actually print it out and then hand it out in class.
Okay, so
even half by 11 in the printer, you know.
So a basic word processor, so it's something like Pete talked about with Evernote or one of those programs, but I would think maybe more along the lines of OpenOffice.
OpenOffice, LibreOffice, or
yeah,
OpenOffice. I mean, they're free.
They're free, and you can download it to your computer. You can download it to if you have a computer now to see what you think of it, but it would give you a fully functional word processor that you could create your documents and print them out. CorelDRAW, if you're using CorelDRAW, do you know what version you have?
Yeah, I have 12.
Is that the latest one?
Yeah, no, it's not the latest. I'm sure there's many more, you know, at least two more. But I've never had any trouble loading it to any computer I had, and I had, you know, went up to date until just recently when it developed a short and started, you know, giving me vertical blue lines on the screen, so...
Well, I mean, you have some. You don't have to buy Microsoft Office. I guess that's the main point that we should make right now.
Okay. So yeah,
if you buy that $300 computer and don't have them add anything extra to it, you do have some other options.
There's also, depending on what you're needing to do, there's also like Chromebooks, which the price point gets even lower on. And, I mean, it has built-in Word, you know, document editing software and stuff as well.
Oh, really?
And do you have internet access?
No, I don't. I mean, I'd have to go to the library or something, you know, like that.
Okay. Well, when you get, you know, if you get a new laptop, even an expensive one is going to have, you know, Wi-Fi where you could go someplace. There's a lot of I just did a Google search on, you know, alternatives to CorelDRAW. And often you can find where somebody's made something that is either very inexpensive that works pretty much the same way, you know, that's like $50 or $25.
Well, for what it's worth, Corel 12 is compatible with Windows 8.1.
Ah, well, so then you've already got that. So
you already have it.
But on anything going forward, nowadays there are a whole lot of people and companies that are making products that are less expensive, and you don't sound like you have super high-end needs. And so you can often find really inexpensive programs that are free on the internet that'll do what you want. You just have to find them and try them out. And since they're free, it's pretty easy to try them out. You just have to spend the time.
Right. Okay. Well, that sounds good. I'll give that a try because I need to do something. And, you know, I'm hesitating of going ahead and buying it and put those programs in there and locking it up or something. And
well, if you buy a new computer and you install something on there and it causes a problem, you can always use the recovery disks and reset the computer back to... It's not like you're going to break it physically. You're just going to mess up the software.
Or usually, most of the time, it seems like if it's not going to be compatible, it'll either warn you about that when you try to install it. It'll say it's not compatible. Or when you install it, it just won't work. And then you uninstall it, and it shouldn't screw up your other stuff.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
I appreciate
it. All right.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, 713-526-5738 is the number to call if you want to be on the air. We have all of our lines open, and we got about half an hour left. So
yeah, if you look at it now, I mean, the horsepower that you can get for a very small amount of money in a computer that's brand new, you know, has a warranty and that you bought brand new, it's kind of amazing. It's sort of the golden age if you just don't have a lot of cash, but you need a laptop that'll run, you know, Windows and do some basic stuff.
We're not quite there yet, but I've been running like a BeagleBone Black, which is like a small embedded ARM-based processor. They've got a lot more RAM. They've got more memory. They've got more onboard storage. And I'm using it almost as a desktop. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, it's like, this is so close to where we could almost push this out to like, you know, like thin client desktops at work. Or, you know, you keep a stack of them. They're not much bigger than like, you know, you could put 50 of them in a camera bag and you've got a BCDR call center you could just deploy out, you know? So, I mean, we're getting almost to that point. You know, I wouldn't say if that's the only computer, get something like that to run Linux on, but it runs fairly quickly. And again, this is, you know, a small computer that's about the size of a cell phone and costs under $100.
You know? And they keep getting better and more powerful.
Yeah,
and
so give it another year or two. There'll be something, you know, that you can just like, you know, Pete's got a box of, you know, Junior Mints over here sitting down there. And that could be a full-fledged server, you know, in just a handful of years.
A computer in an Altoids tent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Going from boosting to a Minty serving.
It'll have more RAM and more processor power than your computer that you had at your corporate job in 2003.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we are now. Like that whole microcontroller revolution is like the Arduino stuff is kind of what we had as far as computing power, like circa 1990, 1991. This new stuff that I'm talking about is, you know, kind of where we were in computing power, like early 2000s. And now there's a new one that's coming out. It's about $10 more than the others, but the specs on it look really nice. Like we're actually getting up into like what you would almost see on like, you know, like a mini ATX, like, you know, like a bookshelf computer. Not quite, you know, full desktop power, but fast enough to do what you want to.
The Raspberry Pis were equivalent of probably like what, six years ago, five,
yeah,
six
yeah,
years
those,
ago.
Yeah, yeah. So Raspberry Pis are like 700 megahertz or so. And then this BeagleBone Black is, you know, 1 to 1.2 gigahertz. And then once you start, you know, again, we have multiple cores in the machines now, but, you know, once you start to flirt with that 2 gigahertz mark, you're modern computing just about, you know?
If you're in high school, if you're listening right now and you're in high school and you haven't...
Do your homework!
You need to play... Yeah, no. Yeah, get off Jay's lawn. No, the stuff that you have access to, you know, the Arduinos and that kind of equipment, first off, it's usually within a high school student's budget. And since it's sort of technology and smart stuff, you probably could get your parents to spring for it. And nowadays, you can do that kind of embedded computing stuff that used to be inaccessible to people because you didn't have access to something that was small enough to build a cool device that'll do interesting things with robotics or, you know, building something brand new hardware-wise. But now you've got that where you can have it as almost a toy, as something that you can
play I mean, the money, it doesn't require the money. And then the nice thing, too, is that there's a huge community of other people doing neat stuff out there with it. So before, you know, you could drop down $10,000 and get a really small embedded computing device, but then you'd kind of be the lone pioneer, like, okay, what do I do with it now? You'd have to write all your own libraries, do all your own stuff. Now it's the point where it's almost like, you know, shopping around just for applications. You can go say, hey, I want to do this, and there's someone that's probably written that, and it's shared, and it's really easy to download, and you load it up, and you're good to go. So things are changing a little bit.
Yeah. That's one of those where it is getting cheaper, and the quality of stuff that you can get a hold of is a lot better than it ever's been.
Ever's been.
So we've got 20 minutes or so left in the show.
Yeah.
We got a few open lines. Oh, we got a caller comment. I know we already read it, but we can just read it again. It says, just wanted to call and let you guys know you're doing a great job.
Everything is awesome.
They said we've won first place in the Special Olympics radio broadcasting category.
We're not special. We're differently
good job.
Able.
No tears.
I'm be careful.
All right, here come the calls, Pete. Yeah, I'm going to direct them all. I'm going to direct them all to you.
What?
We're being insensitive.
We never claim sensitivity as one of our attributes.
Right, there is a disclaimer before the show.
Okay, I'm sorry. I did not.
Snotty nosed little brat.
I did not mean to lower the Special Olympics by saying that we would get first place if we were participating in it.
I think that hole got deeper. All right, well, we do have plenty of open lines, and we could be saved from ourselves with a few phone calls here in the final minutes of the show. 713-526-5738. If anybody out there has installed iOS 8 or done anything clever like that, I'm still trying to figure out what I've done to my phone, if it's good or bad. It doesn't look different. I mean, I think some of the settings are different. Let's go into the settings. iCloud, App Store. It looks a lot like
the App Store is supposed to be very different. I think that was one of the biggest changes they said they were making.
So did you guys get the U2 tracks on your iPhones?
I never even checked.
Everybody got them.
I haven't looked.
Yes, everybody.
I thought you had to go download them or something.
No, they helpfully, like, I think my phone is set not to automatically download music, and so they may not, although they may have abused their...
I heard most of them got it. When I first saw it, I thought it was a joke, because I thought it was, you know, someone trying to go out and make you look for music, and they're like, oh, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. But no, it was real.
All right, well, here's something cool at iOS 8. You can share purchases.
What?
You can attach your account to, like, your kids or your spouse's device, iOS device, like their iPad, and they can use apps that you've paid for. So they have access to the apps you paid for, but they don't have access to your account.
Can you buy something for somebody,
yes,
a random person?
Oh,
just
no,
like,
I
feel like gifting you with this app.
I don't know if that's
like the fart app. Like I'm gonna gift Jay the fart app.
You can still. I mean, can't you gift? Can't you gift apps?
I don't need an app. I will tell you that.
No, they
send in the vape app. I'm sure there's a vape app out there somewhere.
They crammed the U2 album onto my phone too. I thought that my music doesn't automatically sync and I don't have it turned on.
There's a link you can click on that will remove the purchase from your library.
Oh, they made it a link now. I knew it was an app at first.
But will it remove it from my soul, Jay? How do I fix this?
I don't know. Have you found what you're looking for?
Still haven't found what I'm looking for.
The letter U and the numeral 2.
Hmm.
Yeah, I just my respect for you two, what little I had, just I didn't like the. I did not. This was a marketing stunt, pure and simple. And I don't like, you know, somebody taking a.
It's the future of music, man.
U2 is not the future of music.
No, the way they get it to you.
Yeah, someone made a comment like everyone steals all this music. Steal, steal, steal. The second anyone gives them anything for free, they're like, we don't want it. Nope. Take it back.
It's no fun if I'm not pirating it. Now, if they took it away, I'm sure everybody would go and, like, I got to get the new U2 album for free. That'll show them.
See, that's what they should do next time is don't put any DRM on it and then announce it and say, you know, well, we're only allowing certain people to have it. And then all these people will be psyched because they got through and they got it. You know,
yeah.
There's only 1,000 copies we're going to give out. And then when people all storm in and they have the same number of copies as they just put out there, except people will be all proud of themselves. Cause
hey,
they,
it's in my iTunes also.
Because they took it.
Yes.
Imagine that.
I thought you had to go and download it.
No, you've been bonoed. It was automatically.
You've been bonoed.
And if, as long as you don't
it's
have...
It's the new Rickroll. You've been bonoed.
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 You've been jacked by a Bono. You too?
Yeah, I haven't... Of course, it's free up until a certain point, actually. So people that sign up for iTunes after October, November, they won't have it. It won't be available to them.
Which sounds like a feature, not a bug.
Well, I think all musicians should be sponsored by a large corporation to give their music away for free. So I don't know how many millions of dollars this cost Apple to do this, but it was in the millions.
Oh, $100 million,
right.
I think.
So every band should have an opportunity to be sponsored by a technology company to distribute their music to everyone for free and pay the band whatever it's worth for them to do that.
So what technology company do you think would sponsor?
Well, I was thinking the Flying Fish Sailors. Our third album went wood. So I'm thinking if they paid us, $5,000 to $10,000 to give our album away to everyone, we'd probably do that. Because we don't expect that to sell that many in our lifetime.
Well, I was trying to think which company, though, would do this. Is it like Smith Corona or
CorelDRAW?
What other technology company?
Atari.
Osborne.
Osborne Corp. Skynet.
Zenith.
Zenith.
Timex, yeah.
Maybe.
Commodore.
Maybe Ketchup.
I was thinking perhaps
you could send it to everybody. Right.
Starkist.
Tuna?
The tuna company should do it, yeah.
Flying Fish Sailors.
We're talking about tech companies.
You know, one of the things I think that it highlights with the U2 thing, though, is that nowadays there's not really like one band that you can say, yeah, if you give that out to a ton of people, most of them are going to like it. Because it seems to me people's tastes are a lot more fragmented than
I can think of one artist.
And that you would want?
Who would that be?
Johnny Cash.
That's true. That kind of thing would work, but he doesn't have a new album.
He did just have a new album about a year
It would probably
ago.
Take more than $100 million to get a new album out of Johnny Cash.
The new Johnny Cash album produced by Steve Jobs.
He's an 18-inch tall hologram performing.
713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight. If you want the new U2 album and you have an iTunes. I guess if you don't have an iTunes account, and this is amazing to me because I run into people all the time who have iPhones and iPads and have never synced them with iTunes, never done anything like in that setup.
Or even
process.
Set up the iCloud stuff.
Right. So if you don't have an iTunes account and you want the new U2 album, I think if you go sign up for an iTunes account, you'll have the new U2
album. Is it any good? I in all this, the hubbub is everything.
Yeah,
same
principle.
Thing. I don't have any idea what it even sounds like.
What was it? The title of the first song pretty much told me I didn't want to listen to it. The title of the first song
the
on
memorable
the album was
title.
The Miracle of Joey Ramone. And you kind of go, The reason I know there is no afterlife is that the ghost of Joey Ramone and the rest of the dead Ramones, because I think they're all dead now.
They're all dead now.
Did not rise up in their leather jackets and jeans and pull their guitars back out and beat the hell out of
As long as we're bringing religion into it, do you know what the difference is between Bono and God? I think this is safe
an
to
extra
tell.
O and...
No.
God didn't force me to listen to his album.
Almost, yeah. God doesn't wander around Dublin thinking he's Bono. But I'm Bono.
Oh. You can direct your complaints to...
Peter made the worst comment first, yeah.
That's j@ketchup.com. God, that's still out there, too, by the way.
That's a going concern still?
No. The fact that I was hoodwinked by ketchup.
Oh, as long as Groovehouse breathes, we will remember that you sent out ketchup invites.
You can Jay Lee ketchup Google, and it's out there.
Although it shouldn't have that much sting anymore, given all the Facebook frippery that gets floated around all the time when somebody hits a cause or plays a new stupid game that nobody other than that person is interested in, but you get, they spam you all over your timeline with it.
Well, I think there's a certain amount of joy that it happened to someone like me in people's minds. Yes. Yeah, so at any rate, 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air. What tech company would distribute the Flying Fish Sailors album? So that would be actually...
I'm with the Johnson Buggy Whip Company, and I would like to get us in with these young people of today.
Maybe a trifecta of, like, United Airlines and then Mrs. Paul's Fish Sticks and Carnival Cruise Lines. Get the whole...
Carnival. All right, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have?
All right, we've got a call in the queue.
We do.
To save us.
To save us from talking about
going back off the deep
special
end.
iPhone Olympics.
Yeah. All right. Next up is Kathy.
Kathy, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I get my new iPhone tomorrow, and you may have already answered this. I'm not sure, but I'm going to do the trade-in. What's the fastest way to clear everything off of it?
Well, go ahead, Pete.
Do you sync yours up with iTunes already?
I do, yeah.
There should be an option when you connect it up where you can basically reset it to factory.
Oh, okay.
This is the time to use that option.
And that'll get rid of all your stuff on it and set it up like it was brand new. And, they're pretty much going to do the same thing. They would do pretty much the same thing, but, of course, your stuff should be then.
You can also go into Settings, General, Reset.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a few reset options.
Will it get rid of all your personal photos and all that stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do a complete reset.
Just make sure it's backed up first.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's erase all content and settings.
Are you trading it in at the Apple Store?
No, I'm going to do the fill in all the stuff online, and they send everything in, and then you just mail it in and take care of it that way.
What are you trading in?
4S.
4S, and how much are you getting on your trade-in?
$200.
So that's okay.
Yeah,
that's pretty good, because right now you could... it's on special, but you can get a brand new 4S at Best Buy
for the same
bucks.
Oh, that's a really good deal, then. Yeah,
yeah. That's well compensated for it.
It's not a bad
deal. You know, it's just Verizon's way to get you to get a new phone.
Get you into a new 2-year
contract.
But
it saves you all the drama of trying, all the Craigslist skulking around trying to see if the person is legit or not. And you can go right to your new phone.
Okay, because I hang around on Craigslist a lot. So.
On a phone, that seems like a recipe for a lot of calls or contacts that you might not be as happy to get.
I'm just looking on eBay for closed 4S auctions that actually sold and see what they're kind of going for. Because an unlocked iPhone still holds a little bit of value. But it looks like you can buy, I'm still getting through all these listings for...
Is yours unlocked?
I would guess not.
Is it with Verizon or is it with...
Yeah.
It's probably unlocked.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to make... Verizon doesn't make you get them to unlock it. They give it to you.
Are you saying that there's a possibility I could sell it, like, on Craigslist for more than what Verizon would give me for it?
I would almost be certain of it.
Wow.
So, yeah, anybody that's offering to offer, a credit on a phone, whatever they're offering you for it, their idea is they're going to probably resell it at some point, too. So they're not, whenever you're selling to a reseller, you're not getting the full value of your phone.
Although, like I said, right now Best Buy has a special where you can buy a brand new one in the box with a warranty for $200.
Really?
Yeah.
So you may be getting a good, it does sound like you're getting a good deal.
I think Verizon and AT&T are just so desperate to get to boost their customers to the iPhone 6, partly because they know they can sell a lot more data. Mm-hmm. Each generation of iPhone, the users use way more online data, and of course that translates into revenue for those companies.
But my internet connection went down, so I have not been able to verify this. But I know, like, for the iPhone 5, I don't know what the trade-in value is, but they've been selling on eBay unlocked in good condition for around $400 to $500. Still.
Oh, that's good, Jay, because I think that for the 5, the trade-in value is, it may be four. Is there a 4 and a 4? I mean, a 5 and a 5.
There's a 5, a 5C, and a 5S.
Okay, I think one of them may be going for 4 and one of them for 3 for the trade-in.
See, the 5 is also at Best Buy, and it was a special. It was $250.
Right. You can buy it brand new from one of those places with no contract, right?
Yeah.
But there's still a weird market on eBay for this kind of thing where I don't know if it's international buyers.
Especially if you have the Flappy Bird on it or whatever, right?
That actually is a thing I saw.
I wasn't joking.
Phones with Flappy Bird installed seem to be going for a premium. But I'm seeing an iPhone 4 on eBay allegedly went, two of them went for $550. So that's $275 a pop.
Oh, okay.
So it looks like they're commanding a little bit of a premium, but you take the seller's hit and things like that. So your trade-in deal looks like it might be a pretty good one.
Any idea why they went from 16 straight to 64 gigabytes and skipped 32?
I think because they're trying to entice people to the 128 a little bit. They're, without that stop gap there, I'm surprised they didn't do 32, 64, 128.
Right. Unless they were just really trying to have a really low-priced, they wanted to hit that low-price point, maybe.
What they've done in the past is whenever they would like drop the models and go to like the free version of the previous, they would always drop that memory really low.
Down to
and
eight
so
gigs or
it was
whatever.
Usually down to eight. So I'm thinking that's basically they're just starting there now, where the low end version is going to be the one that's going to be super cheap and free when they flip to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
16's the new eight kind of this time around.
Yeah, you could get the 16 on a trade in and it not cost you a thing. But, I've got over 20 gigabytes of music, so I went, I'm all right. Well, all right, gentlemen, thank you so much.
All right, well, thanks for your call. Good luck with your new phone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Yes. iPhone 4S, 16 gig, black, unlocked, $456.20.
I had no idea they were still that valuable.
What?
The thing is, if you think about a new phone, the people, they spent $200, but that was with the subsidy, like a couple $100 that the phone company was kicking in, and the phone company knowing that for 2 years they would be able to get you for the extra money to pay for that phone. So, it's like T-Mobile. If you go look at them, that's where you see what the phone really costs, and it's like $650 or the...
Well, yeah.
Six Plus is like $800. If you go
for the new ones,
I'm
saying for a 4... He said for a 4S.
iPhone 4S went for $455.
See, that's
July.
Crazy.
See, that's... Yeah, to me right now, I think there are places that are sitting on brand new ones that you could get.
A 5 is not even worth that much. Maybe a 5S right now.
Was that on eBay? Or
on eBay. iPhone 4S, 64 gig, $450 sold. That's an auction that actually closed. Apple unlocked iPhone S, 64, $420. They're selling out.
See, that seems crazy.
Yeah.
Because previously you couldn't go get them unlocked, but now AT&T will unlock them,
right?
Like if you call them and it was your phone and you're off contract, they'll unlock it.
Maybe
it became effective sometime in September. There was the new law that said they have to unlock them.
It may be that they're being bought by terrorists and they don't have a paper trail to show the ownership. Maybe there's some shadiness to it.
They shave the digital serial number off of the
these phones are all bought by eBay users whose name is something hyphen ISIL. iPhone 4S unlocked,
calls.
Rare GSM black, no contract, inbox accessories, $426.70, $425. So
that's crazy. That's what I have.
Well, I sold my Windows phone, my original Windows phone from T-Mobile for I think like $250 after owning it for 2 years. So you can if you sell it soon enough, I'll sell my iPhone 5 and I'll bet you I'll get $500 for it.
I need to stop breaking phones. There's too much money in hanging on to them.
Real.
All right. Well, it's been a great show. We appreciate everyone tuning in. Technology Bites is here every Wednesday night live at KPFT, so we hope you'll tune in next week. Until then, I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's
Groovehouse.
Cuckoo.
On Saturday, September 20th, at the University of Houston, the Civil Rights Coalition Conference will help us learn how to strategize, organize, and protect our rights, and be effective and dynamic activists. The one-day conference will cover topics such as community organizing, political and media strategies, immigration, criminal justice reform, coping with discrimination and voter suppression. The keynote forum, Coping with Discrimination and Voter Suppression. The keynote speaker will be Jim Harrington, director of the Texas Civil Rights Project. Other speakers are from ACLU, CARE, HPJC, LULAC, and End Mass Incarceration Houston. For more details on the conference, including the program, speakers, coalition members, and registration, go to HoustonCRC.com. This is KPFT Houston.
Did you know you can find KPFT on the social networking sites Twitter and Facebook? You certainly can, and we'd love you to add us as a friend and get us connected with friends of yours. Join our fan page and check out a special video message from General Manager Dwayne Bradley, as well as keep up with KPFT programmers and staff. Visit facebook.com/KPFT Houston to join us. To follow us, visit twitter.com/KPFT. With both, you can link up with other KPFT listeners, get the latest news about the station, and find lots of extras. It's fun, so catch up with KPFT online. Again, on Twitter, visit twitter.com/KPFT. On Facebook, visit us at facebook.com/KPFT.